Hey. Good afternoon, Eugene. Eugene in the springtime. It's wonderful to be here, and I'm so grateful to Alex and Ungayo and Anthony Johnson and Debbie Goldsberry for putting on these conferences. I speak at a lot of business law conferences, but this is the only one that combines activism and business information. And I was so impressed with what Chelsea had to say. I want to share with you that Keith Strop, who's the founder and still the legal director at Normal, likes to say, the best thing you can hope for is that you leave a conference with one new thought. And I hope the one new thought is what Chelsea is saying to y'all, which is it's critically important that you be involved in a positive way in your community. It is the thing that's going to change it, because that's where the war is playing out in Oregon, in the implementation of House Bill 3460. Even before 91 went into effect, that's where it's playing out. I'm going to talk about that a little later. I did want to follow up also on something that Alex mentioned. Listen, Measure 91 is about this. It's about that July 1st, everywhere in Oregon, a person who's 21 years or older can possess an ounce of marijuana in private legally. That's what it's about. It's about any adult 21 years or older can grow 4 plants, have 8 ounces, have 72 ounces of usable liquid, 30 ounces of solid, and an ounce of oil. And it's about legalization. The industry part of it, the part that we're all gathered together to talk about, is the portal through which it became possible to achieve what is so far the most dramatic cannabis law reform in the country. But it's not the important part. Freedom is the important part. I don't like to promote Normal all that much, but I'm part of the Normal Legal Committee. I'm excited Russ Belville started up Portland Normal again. Can we have a... And Calico. But I was going to say, I'm part of the Normal Legal Committee. And, you know, not everybody in the Normal Legal Committee is a consumer, but most of us are. And I found in the industry, it's like that as well. And that it's not people who say, you know, oh, I'm going to make a gazillion bucks, this is what I want to do. It's people like Chelsea who are motivated by compassion. You know, that there's an opportunity to make money doing good work. And so God bless you all for that. Thank you. I'll talk in a minute about how our office is organized and how I work closely with Robert Graham, but I hate to start off this way, but I have to correct him on one thing. Extractions are only lawful at grow sites, because under the definition of manufacture is extraction. And extraction is manufacture. You can only manufacture at a grow site. Can't have a grow site at a dispensary, or really a medical marijuana facility. So you can't extract at a facility. You can only extract at a grow site. And then I have these announcements. Are there any other lawyers here besides me still? Could you stand up if you're... I can't even see everybody. Hi! Can we have a round of applause for the cannabis lawyers? You know, Alex said... I love Alex to death, and I appreciate the hell out of him giving me an opportunity to speak to y'all. But it's bullshit to say that it's just Robert and I. There's lots of good cannabis lawyers, and what Steve D'Angelo said is true. There's plenty enough work for all of us, you know? So there isn't any reason for us to be like that. And I want to tell you about two exciting new lawyer things. One is, did you see, Leah, where those people were?
Yeah.
Could you go? So Leah's going to come back to y'all, because we're starting, you know, within the Oregon State Bar, there are different sections. There's an aviation law section, an appellate law section, a criminal law section. We're starting a cannabis law section.
Yeah.
And we require signatures, and even though the campaign's over, signature gathering isn't over, and so Lee's going to take care of that now. And then I'm really excited to let you know that this Thursday night, or afternoon, 4 o'clock on Thursday, in Berkeley, California, with me on Skype, is going to be the founding board of directors meeting of the Cannabis Bar Association.
Yeah.
And I know that I know that we talked a little bit yesterday about, you know, Michelle Alexander says it's not right that white men are making money off of black men in prison in this industry, and that's exactly correct. And there is, as, is JC still here? Could you stand up? If you have a question about the Minority Cannabis Industry Association, check in with JC. And I just wanted to mention their website is minoritycannabis.org. Sole member of an LLC called Oregon Cannabis Business Compliance Council. I've been practicing for 32 years in April, which is longer than anybody else. I've been working on this, on trying to free the weed for the last 20 years. And about 4 years ago, when I was working some with voter power at Measure 74, which was a regulated supply system bill, people started coming to my house, where I was working out of, to say, well, if this passes, what do I need to do to be in compliance? And so a couple of years ago, two Decembers ago, I started Oregon Cannabis Business Compliance Council, LLC. And one thing that was interesting about it is that I don't mind meeting with people, with drug war victims, people who've been arrested and prosecuted in my home, but I didn't think business people, I have enough trouble with people taking me serious anyway, but I was worried they wouldn't take me seriously if I was meeting them at the house, and I decided I needed an office. And about 3 years ago, Leah Flynn, who's my legal assistant, office manager, industry insider, and pot snob, started organizing my life, and and we went looking for places, and we found a place, and we put an awful lot of work into it. I had to find another lawyer, Ann Witte, to help sublet one of the offices. And at the very last minute, after like 2 weeks of trying to figure this out, the landlady says, well, it's just one more thing, but it's a deal breaker. I said, what's that? She says, well, you can't be, or put a sign up that says Oregon Cannabis Business Compliance Council. I said, why not? She said, well, it might offend other tenants. And I said, well, that's bigotry. And she said, no, it's not. And I said, well, what if I had decided to shift my practice away from criminal law and look after the rights of gays and lesbians and transgender people and bisexuals and open homosexual law? And she said, well, that's different. And I said, no, it isn't. And so we didn't rent there. We ran it somewhere else. And I didn't wake up one morning and say, you know, well, I've been practicing criminal law, I can advise about business formation, I know all there is to know about intellectual property, about zoning and everything. So what I've done is I've associated with different lawyers around the state. Cole Haver in Portland does business formation work as part of an association that we have. He is Voodoo Donuts corporate counsel, and he and I went to law school together, and he 35 years ago, and he's an art law guy by trade, so he does intellectual property work statewide. Robert Graham knows securities law, and he does that statewide, as well as business formation in the southern part of the state, as well as co-chairing trials that we've had down there. Ross Day is a property rights activist. And so he helps out with zoning, because you're going to hear how they're fucking... Do I offend anybody if I say that?
Yeah.
How they're fucking with us on zoning and land use stuff. He knows that stuff. And I could figure that out, but he's got these relationships that are so critical that, like Chelsea mentioned about Brian. And then this young woman from Wisconsin who went to Marquette, went to law school in Minnesota, came out here and worked with some of the criminal lawyers for a while. Went back to school, got a LLM, a master's degree in environmental law with an emphasis in hemp. So I'm associated with the hemp goddess, Courtney Moran. No one knows more hemp law than Courtney Moran, so I'm excited about that.
Okay.
I can tell you currently at OC3, we are working on a compendium of what would be the best places to site a store, a retail outlet, a medical marijuana facility, a retail outlet after the moratoriums end in May. And we're also almost done, aren't we? Figuring out which counties are going to be the counties to cultivate in with the least resistance from the locals and the best climate. And if you want more information about that, give us a call, come on in and see us, and we'll be glad to talk to you about it. I did want to mention about the out-of-state patients. The Joel Berenger was taking his friend Jeremy Fox from Northern California up to Fort Lewis McChord, where Jeremy Fox was going to become Sergeant Fox and fly to Iraq. And Joel Berenger had just long flowing red hair, big red beard, red 4x4. And he's coming up 205 near Oregon City, 72 miles an hour and 55. And Officer Nashy from the Oregon City Police pull him over for speeding and say, "What's all that weed on the floor?" And Joel says, "Here's my California recommendation." And Nashy says, "That ain't no good here." So we went to court and argued that the California recommendation was due full faith and credit in Oregon, so the probable cause went away as soon as he saw it. You with me still?
Yeah.
And that if it didn't, he was interfering with my client's constitutional right to travel. So we lost in the trial court and went up on appeal, and the Court of Appeals said, well, we're not interfering with the California recommendation because California recommendation provides a limited immunity under California law. And he still has limited immunity under California law. But the right to travel is about, do we treat non-Oregonians differently from Oregonians in an illegal way? And it depends on whether the statute is ambiguous or not. And they found the statute was ambiguous, and we lost again. So we lost the case, but changed the law, because the Attorney General read it and advised the Oregon Health Authority that they should promulgate new rules, and that's how we got out-of-state patients. By the way, there was a young lawyer who helped me out on the appeal. His name is Anthony Johnson. But the only reason we needed to do that shit was that we kept going to the legislature seeking reciprocity, and they kept telling us to fuck off, you know? No, we're not going to have, the cops said no, and we couldn't get reciprocity, so this is how we achieve this. And I was thrilled to hear Senator Floyd Prusansky yesterday say that we're going to get reciprocity.
That's huge.
It is good news, isn't it? And plus, you know, I sort of wonder, like, how much do we really need it? We need it, I guess, for the kids, right? If you're under 21 and a patient and you're visiting, but if you're over 21 and a patient, then you'd be legal anyway. I want to talk a little bit about legislation. I mentioned yesterday about 3722, which is the bill to change the sentences and expunge everything. I got an email from Aaron Romano, who's a normal lawyer in Connecticut, where they have won a case there, and I think we may be able to change that law to fix that problem. 2645 is a bill that would make it illegal to vape in, it would add vaping cannabinoids as well as tobacco products in the or nicotine in under the Indoor Clean Air Act, which calls into question the legality of lounges. And we're being told, well, you could have a lounge so long as it was a private club and no employees. But you know, I'm really concerned about it. If you are, anybody here have a lounge, want to open a lounge, it's really time to contact your legislator and say, WTF, what are we going to do to make it so we could get lounges? Because the lawyer for the OLCC is telling the OLCC that it's not legal and that they have the authority to shut it down. Okay.